Marston, tomorrow.
This is BBC Radio 4
Extra.
I'm sure we can all get along very well together.
Seven o'clock on a Monday morning, and it's comedy time on Radio 4 Extra. Hello, this is Joanna Pinnock, and it's curtain up and light the lights for the Hull Amateur Theatre Company's big show. But will anyone show up? The Hull women have to boost their sluggish ticket sales in the final episode of Crazy Big Fish before Paul Merton, Sheila Hancock, Josh Widdicombe and Julian Clary join Nicholas Parsons for just a minute. So now, from the year 2000, the big day has arrived and it's almost curtain-up time on the first performance. Now, all our ladies from Hull need is an audience.
Crazy Big Fish by Jill Adams. Episode 6. Crazy for Trying.
Saturday, Monday.
Hiya, you're through to Crazy Big Fish Theatre Company. Tonight's the big night, eh? Please can all the crew members and cast be at the Silver Skate pub at 6 o'clock for a tech run. Remember, I don't want to see a script in sight. You know the lines, you know you do. Thanks.
Hiya Jill, it's Pauline here. Look, we've had a bit of bother with Babs's dad and hang on. What do you mean you don't want me to tell her? You said ring her. Oh, look, Jill, I'll have to ring you back.
Hiya, it's Rita here. Everything's fine. See you later.
Hiya, it's me, Pauline, again. Look, we all just wondered how many tickets had been sold, because we rang the... Oh, shut up, Diana. Get in your basket, come on. Can you keep her quiet? I'm trying. Gladys, don't give her that. She'll throw up. Brilliant.
Hello. It's Gladys here. Rita's mother. Hello, can you hear me? Look, how many tickets have been sold? Because we rang this morning and they said 6. Oh, thank you. Goodbye.
Just a quick reminder that there are still a few tickets left for the world premiere of Jill Adams' play Fish and Leather, starring Pauline Smith and Rita Jones. Doors open at 7:30 and the tickets are £4 and £3 concession. This lively piece tells the story of Fish and Leather.
Oh, turn it off, I don't think I can take any more.
A few tickets left, a couple of hundred you mean?
Eh?
Well, that place seats 200.
200? And how many tickets did we get printed?
250.
And how many have we sold? I mean, you, me, Babs and Sandy.
Well, Babs has sold 2 and so has Sandy. And there's your mum and Betty, your neighbour. 6, you know it's 6.
I know it's 6. I just think we could have done better than that. We must know people. Not family, but someone else.
Ooh, I know. It's pathetic, isn't it? Hey, speaking of pathetic, what are we going to tell Babs about her dad?
Oh, don't ask me. She might be pleased, at least he came to see her.
In the middle of the night, off his head.
You did the right thing, shutting the door in his face, Pauline. A man like that probably only knows you mean business if you, well, play him at his own game. He's just a bully.
Aye, he is. But he is a dad and I know she misses him.
She can't go back and live there. He knocks her about, Pauline. It's wrong.
I know, and I've told her that she can live here as long as she wants. I'd bloody miss her if she left. I know that.
You've got to say something, Babs. You can't just leave.
I know, but I dare say out. Pauline's been so good to me, but... Well, I know why my dad came round in that state. He just can't cope without me. He'll drink himself to death if I don't go back home.
Pastor's uptown. So, when are you going to tell her?
Sometime today.
Not before the show.
Oh, well, when then?
Well, I don't know. She'll miss you, you know. She's changed since you've been here. On the odd occasion, she almost seems human.
If you stare at that phone any longer, I swear you'll melt it.
Eh?
Well, you've been staring at it for nearly an hour. Ring him. Go on, you know you want to. Well, go on, do it. Do something, because you're driving me mad.
I don't.
Oh, Rita, he's your husband. There's nothing to be scared about. Go on, else you'll never settle all day.
I'm a bag of nerves already. I can't believe it's tonight. I can't ring him, Pauline. What if he slams the phone down on me? Or tries and bans me from doing the play, or...
Oh, what ifs don't mean a thing. Either you do it or you don't. If you do it, be strong and don't let Billy tell you what you can and can't do. You tell him. If you don't ring him, then please try and put him to the back of your mind. Because I swear to God, Rita, that brandy bottle is beckoning me this morning already.
I know. And what are we going to do all day?
We should try and flog some tickets, I know that. Six, I ask you. What's the point of getting up on a stage for six people? We could have invited him round here and performed it in my blooming living room at this rate. We've got to get out there.
Where?
Where do you think? Out there, on the streets of Hull.
It's not going to stop, you know.
No one's going to want to come out in this.
Is there a good film on telly?
Well, Billy won't be working in this, I can tell you. He'll be in his shed, all damp and miserable.
Rita.
What?
Shut up. Well, when it stops, we're getting out there and we're flogging some tickets. Else we might as well ring Jill now and tell her to forget it.
Shall we have a speed run?
I'm not running anywhere, lady.
No, I mean doing your lines dead quick to test your memory.
Oh, look now, you've set me belly off again. Hey up, ma'am, I need the loo.
I hope someone's chipping in for the amount of bog roll I've gone through with you lot staying here. And tea bags. Three boxes I've gone through. And you've drank every drop of booze in this house.
Pauline.
And... Eh?
Shut up. You just have to pick in a row again. We can't keep having a row every 5 minutes. We'll end up killing each other by 6 o'clock.
This morning, one of Hollywood's most enigmatic...
Oh, turn them off, Sandy. I feel sick enough as it is.
Hey, that'll be you and Rita soon, you know. Doing interviews and signing autographs.
Babs.
What?
Shut up. It stopped raining.
We know.
Well, what's stopping us? Let's get out there and sell.
Sandy, love.
I know, shut up. Well, I thought you said we should.
That was before the flipping speed run. Speed run, I ask you. A snail could have remembered the lines quicker than you, Rita.
Well, me head's in bits.
We could have another go. A bit slower, if you like.
You know the lines. You know you do.
I know I do, but I just can't remember them, that's all. I'd be all right if my belly wasn't so upset. Ma'am, pass us that kaolin and morphine again.
I had the last swig. It's all gone.
Well, I suppose we should get out there, you know. At least try and get an audience.
We could visit every bookies in Hull. Catch them when they're flush.
Hey, we could look for that traffic warden. Get him to put leaflets on cars for us.
Yeah, and we could get on buses, right? Because they're always packed full of women, aren't they? We could hand out the leaflets and tell him it's on tonight and selling like hotcakes.
That's right, you know. I mean, we could hit the supermarkets, catch women going in and coming out.
Here and bingo.
Here and hairdressers. We could do a ring round and get him to try and flog tickets for us.
Well, come on then, what are we waiting for?
And doctor's surgery. They're full of people, aren't they?
Yeah, sick people. Hmm. Look, I suggest we split up, right? Me and Babs will do the hairdressers, pubs and cafes. You, your mum and Pauline do the bookies, bingo and buses. Oh, and Pauline, you can find Mr. Traffic Warden and ask him to do the cars. Well?
I need the lab first.
Me and all.
Right. And let's meet up, say, 4 o'clock. Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's dead saucy as well. Go on, buy four and I'll give you one free. Treat you, Miss
sister a good night out.
Aye. Go on then, I'll take two.
Make it eight. Go on, take your mother-in-law and your brother-in-law, your uncle, your auntie and your mum.
Aye, go on then.
Aye, it's dead down to earth, isn't it, Paul?
Yeah, it's not like Shakespeare out. It's a sort of cross between Cora and Cabaret, isn't it?
Oh, who's in it then? Beautiful young actresses, eh?
Aye, they're drop-dead gorgeous, aren't they, Pauline?
One's a blonde, right? And she wears a leather miniskirt, a low-cut top and fishnet stockings and 6-inch stilettos.
And the other wears some right kinky boots, doesn't she, Pauline?
Aye, does she get her kit off, like?
Hey, look, just because it's at the Silver Skate don't mean it's a strip show, you know.
Oh, aye, it's a comedy. It's hilarious, it is.
Oh, aye, it's dead dramatic. It'll have you on the end of your seat.
No, there's no strong language at all.
It's dead raunchy. There's loads of swearing in it.
Go on, make it six.
How many? Four.
Go on, I've only got 10 left. Rita!
What?
I've sold all mine.
I know, so have I.
Right. Well, that's the last of mine. You know, I got time for a quick bet. What's wrong with you two?
I've sold all my tickets.
So have I.
That was the point of all this, wasn't it?
Yeah, but if Sandy and Babs have got rid of all theirs and all...
It means the place will be packed.
Oh, Wick. Do you think they'll let me use the loo? Do you reckon they've managed to sell all theirs?
I don't know. I can't wait to see the faces when we tell them we've got rid of all ours.
Oh, we'll soon find out. Aye, we've sold all our tickets. Look at all this cash.
Aye, we've got rid of ours and all.
So that's what you wanted, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what have you both got faces like that for?
Don't start, lady. I'm not in the mood, all right?
All right, keep your wig on. We just thought you might actually be pleased, that's all.
Everyone were dead interested, you know. You'd be surprised how many had seen it in the paper.
That traffic warden bought one, didn't he, Babs? He really fancies you, you know, Pauline. God knows why.
Well, I've got shocking trap wind. I can't stop shaking. And now I feel like throwing up again.
I haven't even got energy to play it through machine.
250 people, though, Pauline.
Well, we don't know that. I mean, we only sold about 100 between us. Then they might not all come.
Well, I reckon that traffic warden will.
Oh, aye, he'll definitely be there. Front row, I reckon.
Oh, I think they will, Pauline. Else what was the point of buying the ticket in first place?
Even 100 is a lot of people. I've never stood in front of that many people before.
Neither have I.
My legs feel like jelly.
Sandy, have you phoned your mother again?
No, and I'm not going to either. Tonight is our night. We've worked damn hard to get this play on and I don't want it spoiling.
Yeah, you're right, Sandy. I was going to ring my dad, but stuff him. It is all right for stay tonight, isn't it, Pauline?
Aye. Unless I'm whisked off to Hollywood or Granada Studios or something.
Well, ladies, you might not be drinking, but I feel a double snowball coming on.
Where's your mother disappeared to?
She's gone back home to pick up her best frock and her bottom dentures. Bless her. She's promised to keep him in all night. She's getting me one or two bits and pieces, you know, extra drawers and that.
Aye. Well, you're welcome to stay with me as long as you like, you know. Oh, it's not good. I'm going to have to sit on the lap for a bit.
Oh, Sandy, them flowers are lovely. Oh, I got them from my Billy. Oh, I'm filling up again.
No, they're for Pauline.
Hey, for me?
There's a card, shall I read it?
Yeah, come on then.
Can't wait to see you in them fishnets, Blondie. Love, Tom.
Ooh, you sound like a birthday.
Oh, we're nice of him, though. Who is it?
I don't blooming know.
I reckon it's your favourite traffic warden toy boy, don't you?
Oh, aye. I forgot about him. Cheeky monkey. Hey, what do you mean, toy boy? It must be at least 40.
Yeah, half your age. Forgot about him. Yeah, right. We believe you, Pauline. Where's Gladys? Jill wants to go over what she has to do on the door.
She's nipped home to fetch me some stuff.
Where's Babs disappeared to? I haven't seen her for ages.
She's nipped home to see her dad.
What?
Oh, is that a good idea?
Well, if he lays one finger on her, play or no play, I'm going round there and... Oh, heck. Oh, look. I think it might be better if you left me alone for a bit. I feel terrible.
If you're looking for her stuff, don't bother. I've already packed it. It's in bin liners in the shed.
You've put her stuff in bin liners?
Aye, I have.
God knows she hasn't got much. What she has got isn't exactly good stuff, but to just shove it all in bin liners... Well, even for you, Billy, it's mean. It'll break her heart, and you know it will.
Don't talk to me about hearts. How do you think I feel, knowing my own wife has to lie to me?
Why do you think?
I think it might have been easier if she was having an affair. At least then I'd have known why she walked out on me, why she had to lie to me. But this, putting on a stupid play, why couldn't she just ask if she could do it?
Ask?
I might have understood. I might have said she could.
Do you ask her when you go down to the pub? Or when you join darts team? Or go fishing or sit in your stupid shed and faff about all day?
That's different.
Why, because you're a bloke?
No. Because I'm not making a show of myself going on local radio, being sprawled all over the newspaper.
She did that because she had to. It's what you do in show business.
Show business? Don't make me laugh. For a start, it's going on in one of the roughest pubs in Hull, and she's dressed like a bleeding fishwife in it. It's not show business, it's acting like a kid, that's what it is. Who the hell's going to turn up and watch two middle-aged women make fools of themselves?
200. Even more people, that's who. Tickets have sold like hotcakes. I doubt if there's even one left for you.
Me? Oh, aye. Like I really want to be there when everyone's booing her off the stage and shouting for the strippers. You do know it's a strip joint, don't you? Fish and leather, it sounds like some kinky cabaret act. If you've sold tickets, it's only because they're expecting to see plenty of flesh.
Well, they won't be disappointed then, will they?
Eh?
Your face, you can't stand it, can you? The thought that our Rita is doing something for herself... Summit, you just can't sulk for a bit and get her to stop. The only reason she didn't tell you, and the only reason she lied to you, was because she knew you'd act like that. And she were right, wasn't she? She knew you'd say she was too fat and daft. Go and sit in your shed, Billy. Go on, get used to it. Because it's all you're going to have left for company. Because I've just talked to the kids. And they're going. They want a front row seat. So our Rita will see them. I see them and see how proud they are of her.
The kids are going?
Of course they are. Because unlike you, Sunshine, they care about their lass's feelings. And they're blooming proud of her and all. You do know how hard it was for her to learn the lines, don't you? Because it was. And she had to tell them all that she couldn't read properly. And get through it even though she wanted to give up. She didn't. Anyway, I've got to get back. Can I give her a message?
I feel stupid. I'm not a monster. She could have told me. She didn't have to lie. When it was in the paper, they all cheered when I walked into the pub. Bought me a pint and said they didn't know I was married to a famous actress. I didn't know what they were on about. I thought they must have been winding me up. She showed me a picture in the paper, dressed like that. I hardly recognised her. She even changed her flaming name. My own wife.
Shall I give her a message?
Aye. Tell her... I don't understand why she didn't just tell me. That's all.
I'm sorry, Dad. Honest I am, but... I'm going to have to go. They need me. The show's tonight. Dad? Look, why don't I make you a sandwich or something, eh, Dad? You are killing yourself with booze.
Aye, well, maybe that's my intention.
You don't mean that. Dad!
Don't I? What have I got to live for now, eh?
Don't say that.
Even my only daughter's up and left me.
Well, maybe if you didn't drink so much, I might not have had to. It never used to be like this. You never used to drink like this. I don't understand you, Dad. We used to get on. We used to be a...
If you're going to say a family, we stopped being a family the day your mother died.
I didn't want to go. I didn't want to leave you. Not really.
Didn't you?
Of course I didn't.
Aye, but now you've got your fancy friends, haven't you?
They're not fancy. They're just nice. And at least they don't put me down all the time.
What are you here for anyway?
I came to see you. See if you were all right.
Aye, well, you've seen me now, haven't you?
Yeah, and I should have known I was wasting my flipping time.
So, I'm a waste of time now, am I?
Yeah, when you're like this, you are.
Well, you know where the door is.
I can't believe you turned up at Pauline's in that state. What did you come and see me for anyway? Or were it just to show me up?
They slammed the door in my face.
It's a wonder they never called the flipping police.
You were like that, wouldn't you? your own dad banged up for the night.
Of course I wouldn't. But we can't go on like this. Look at the state of you. What'd me mum think if she saw you now?
Your mother's dead. Gone. She's just a box of bones now. That make you feel better now, does it?
Oh, no. I'm as bad as you. Look what you're doing to me. You're turning me into a monster just like you. Well, you drink yourself to death, Dad. And soon you're going to be right in that grave with her. And don't expect me to be at your funeral, because I'll be long gone. Do you hear me? After the show, me and Sandy are definitely going to London. We're going to London and reinventing ourselves. I'm changing my name and I'm getting some contact lenses and I'm going to be someone else. Someone that's not me. Not the me you've turned me into. I'm telling you, Dad, I'm getting out this flipping town and as far away from you as I can.
Well, that suits me fine.
Good.
Well, go on then.
We sold ever so many tickets. Did you see it in paper? They even mentioned my name.
They spelt it wrong.
Oh, it's going to be packed, I think. But I could always leave you a ticket on the door, you know. Like you was my VIP guest. If you had a bath and a shave and that. Dad, it's not a posh production, you know. It's dead down to earth.
Aye, it'd have to be in the Silver Skate.
But shall I leave you a ticket? Fine. Well, don't say I didn't ask you. Look, I've really got to go.
Babs.
Yeah?
You're not a monster.
What?
You said I turned you into a monster like me.
I didn't mean to hit you.
Oh, you did. Happen I deserved it.
No one deserves to be hit, Dad. Right. I've gone.
No, I say Aya, and you say, oh, not you again. What's wrong? Did your fancy fella drop down dead in Dudley or something?
Jill changed it. Tell her, Sandy.
She did. She cut it, actually, because both of you kept getting it wrong. Rita, keep still. How am I expected to... Brilliant. You've just moved and split it again.
Well, I told you it was too small. Anyway, I didn't move. I just breathed out. I do have to breathe, you know. Breathe out. I can barely breathe in without burping up sick. Where's me mother? I need a big swig of me pink medicine. I'm telling you, Pauline, it lines your stomach, something smashing. I'll give you a mouthful.
I'm confused now. Fancy making changes to the script an hour before we go on. It's no good. I'm going to go and find Jill and tell her.
No, Pauline. It's to make it easier.
But I had it fixed in me head. I walk on, see her at the bus stop, looking blooming miserable as usual.
Thanks a lot.
Well, not you, your character.
She's not miserable. She's just overworked and underpaid like most women. Except you, of course, living off a rich sugar daddy.
Hey, I do not live off Raymond. He just buys me nice things.
Of course, you service him regularly, we know.
It's a love affair.
It's fiction. You know, made up, not real. Just lines in a play. Not worth rowing about now.
Who's that? What if it's my Billy?
Oh, well, it's probably more blooming flowers. From Tom?
It's probably Jill telling you to get a move on.
Hello? Who is it?
It's me, Babs.
What are you doing knocking for, Barmy?
Well, the sign on the door said, knock or you're dead.
Eh? Oh, well, that's because all the strippers change in here, don't they? Any road? How did you get on with your dad?
Yeah, great. He's much better and he apologises for... Oh... He's in such a state, completely off his head.
He didn't hit you again, did he?
He couldn't even raise an eyebrow, never mind his fist. Oh, he's drinking himself to death to punish me for abandoning him. Where are you going, Pauline? It's all right, I'm not bothered. Where are you going?
Payphone.
Where are you going? You're on in 20 minutes.
20 minutes? It can't be 20 minutes.
Oh, do you think we'd better follow her?
No, leave her till she gets back. She'll be back. Rita, you're going to have to take this off. I can't sew it with you in it.
Well, I hope my mum gets back soon.
I hope Pauline does.
How many's in?
Oh, about 60.
No, there's more than that. It's about 100. Oh. Hang on, there's loads just walking through the door. Blimey.
me look who it is.
Is it my Billy? Is it?
No, it's Tom. Pauline's fancy man. He's wearing a really flashy suit. He looks very nice. Indeed.
God, you're lying. Give us a look. Oh, there's probably loads of them, Rita.
Can you see anyone I know?
I don't believe it. Babs, look.
Who is she?
She?
It's my mother. Oh, heck, she's brought a posh friend, Stella Lyons. Her husband works for Yorkshire TV.
He doesn't.
No, he owns Penny Arcades, but I thought that might get you going.
No.
I can't believe it. I can't believe she's here. Oh, see that, Babs. Now, do you know what I mean?
What?
She's brought a cushion to sit on, scared she'll catch the germs off the seat.
Oh, I don't believe it.
What's wrong?
Oh, he's got his wedding suit on. The colour matches his eyes. They were always my mum's favourite. Oh, it's even Brill creamed his hair. Look, third row front back. It's my dad.
He's not bad looking, Babs.
Aye, I scrub up all right, don't I, love?
Billy.
Hiya.
Hiya, it's Pauline, isn't it?
Aye, the tart with the art. That's me. Well, my character.
You look...
Fat and daft.
Aye, you do.
It's my character.
Aye, I know. The kids are all saving me a seat.
They're all here?
Aye, front row.
I'm sorry I lied to you.
Sorry you felt you had to.
I'm a bag of nerves.
Yeah. Gladys asked me to give you all this.
What is it? Oh, look, Pauline, she's put a bow round it.
Well, is it whiskey?
No, it's my pink medicine. Do you want a swig?
Oh, yeah, talk.
Can I give you a kiss? Mm. All that spoil your makeup.
Oh, you're joking. I put it on with a trowel, didn't I, Pauline?
Break your legs, ladies.
Aye, we will.
Come here, you. Give us a hug.
Oh, give over. You'll set me off in a minute.
You're going to be brilliant. I just know it.
Ah, well, you and Babs haven't been so bad yourself.
Oh, Pauline, thanks for having me to stay with you.
Hey, don't mention it.
I will have to go home, though. You understand, don't you?
Aye, of course I do, love.
And me and my mum will... Well, you can have your double bed back.
You might be needing it soon.
Here, let's have a toast. We could all do with a swig of the pink stuff. Here's to us.
To us.
Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to announce on stage the fabulous and the ridiculous, but soon to be famous, Fish and Leather.
Right, well, here goes, kid. See you in a bit.
What's my cue again?
What do you mean, what's your cue? You know it.
I forgot. Babs, pass us my script.
Rita, you're on.
Here, this page.
I can't read a thing without my blooming glasses.
Rita, you're on.
Babs, lend us your glasses.
Remember, don't move suddenly, Rita, or she'll rip your overall again.
But the first thing I do is bend over and get my cigs and lighter out my bag.
Remember to find your spot.
Are you still going to prompt?
Well, Jill said you won't need it.
Rita, get on. Go on. I'm all right.
Well, next time I see you, kid, you'll be under that spotlight with me.
Aye, well, make sure you leave room for me.
Aye. Of course I will.
I'm crazy for trying and crazy for crying.
In Crazy Big Fish, Rita was played by Deborah McAndrew, Pauline by Rachel Davis, Sandy by Katie Kavanagh, Babs by Sally Walsh, Gladys by Ruth Holden, Billy by Terence Mann. Other parts were played by members of the company. Crazy Big Fish was written by Jill Adams and directed in Manchester by Polly Thomas.
And I'm crazy for lovin' you.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was the finale of that series. So from Hull to that corner of Cold War Eastern Europe that will remain forever Britain next time, where Ambassador Mackenzie and his staff will be flying the flag.
Nice, cheerful place you have here.
This is
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now then, how do you introduce a show that's in its 83rd series? I think I'll just leave it to the expert.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the programme four exciting, talented performers who are going to show their skill with words and vocabulary as they try and speak on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition or deviation. And they are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Sheila Hancock, and on my left, Julian Clary and Josh Widdicombe. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me sits Hayley Sterling, who's going to help me with the score. And she'll blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And we begin the show this week with Julian Clary. And this subject for you, Julian, is the best cure for a hangover. 60 seconds if you need it, starting now.
If you wake up with something throbbing on your...
Josh Challenge.
That was hesitation. He went, the best... If you wake up...
No, Josh, that's too keen.
Oh, he's desperate for a few points.
I think no wonder we were called the Beast of Dartmoor. That's why we can make any sense in a different show. Different show.
I should explain to our listeners that Paul was referring to a subject we had the last time these four were together, which, of course, was a different show.
Yeah. Different audience.
We had a different audience.
I don't know how you knew it. How did you know?
Though a lot of them I do recognise from the... Julian. It's still with you because it was an incorrect challenge. You've got a point for that, of course. It's the best cure for a hangover, starting now.
The best cure for a hangover is a glass of water, sit quietly in a darkened room and think about something lovely. I ponder my friend Joss's wedding. Is your name Joss? I'm sorry, I've never seen him before.
Well, you're not going to be asked, that's for sure.
This is something else that came up in the other show we were doing with his fork that Josh mentioned he was going to get married shortly, yeah. Right, Josh?
Repetition, hesitation, no, and humiliation.
That's terrible.
But Josh, you may have pressed your buzzer, but Paul challenged first.
Oh, it just gets worse and worse. Yeah,
yeah. More humiliation.
More humiliation.
As it was so lovely to hear from you, and you haven't played the game as much as the other three, give him a bonus point. Paul, your challenge?
Yeah, it's deviation, yes.
On deviation and all that rubbish, yes. Right, the best cure for a hangover is with you, Paul, and there are 45 seconds available starting now.
When Jess gets married later this year, I hope that I'm going to get an invitation, because the best cure for a hangover is to go to a wedding the night before and then wake up in a glorious bed having your husband bring you porridge. Oh, that's another show. Why am I mentioning that? That's another show.
Oh, the temptation. They keep referring back to the other show when they're all four together.
This show better go out before the other one.
Sheila, you challenge first. Yes, or your challenge?
It was, everything.
Everything. Everything.
I'm so confused.
Well, a point for you, Sheila, and you have the subject, and still 33 seconds available. The best cure for a hangover starting now.
The best cure for a hangover is not to get drunk in the first place, because I am strictly against people drinking alcohol to excess. It makes for an unhappy life, and I think it will give you...
Paul, you challenge first.
Deviation, hesitation. Something.
Yes, right. A point for you for a correct challenge. And there are still 20 seconds available starting now.
Koalas squeezed into a glass create the most refreshing drink. Beside that marsupial, there is an anti-hangover cure. Many scientists believe that what I'm saying now is absolute rubbish.
Sheila challenge.
The deviation.
What, many scientists believe it's true?
No. Koalas being squeezed into a glass. I mean...
Well, you didn't establish what was deviation, though, Sheila.
Well, the koalas being squeezed into a glass.
Oh, well, that's correct.
As a cure for... What?
No, that is a correct challenge, Sheila.
What?
I agree with you.
Oh, I thought you were saying it was correct.
Have you ever tried it?
No.
Well, how do you know it's not a cure for a hangover?
Because I don't know any koalas. But I have enough common sense to know you take an animal like that, you can't squeeze it, otherwise something very unpleasant would come out.
Yeah. And it cures hangovers.
Oh, God.
Sheila, you have a correct challenge.
Well, this is outrageous.
And you, And there are still 8 seconds available. The best cure for a hangover, Sheila, starting now.
This show is going to the pot because all of them are drinking too much and are suffering from hangovers, in my opinion.
Oh, Paul Challenge.
I'm not, because I've squeezed a koala into a glass.
The only thing I can do there is to give Paul a bonus point because we enjoyed the joke. Sheila, you were interrupted. You get a point. There's still 3 seconds available on this subject. The best cure for a hangover, Sheila, starting now.
The best cure for a hangover is lemon.
So at the end of that round, Sheila Hancock was speaking as the whistle went, so she gains an extra point. And it won't be surprised to hear that she's in a strong lead at the end of that round. Right, Josh, can we like you to begin the next round? And we go from bland subjects to an erudite one. Mm. And this one is Picasso.
Oh, my specialist subject.
Would you tell us something about Picasso in this game, starting now?
Picasso's main thing that he brought to art was drawing the features of a face on one side. You can see this influence today in Peppa Pig, where 2 eyes appear on the same piece of the nose. And to be honest with you, I think it teaches children a bad...
Julian, you challenge first.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was. So a point and the subject and 43 seconds if you need it on Picasso starting now.
I'm going to buy my dear friend Josh a Picasso for his wedding present and I will wrap it up.
Josh challenged.
I'm called John.
So what's your challenge when the rules are just a minute?
I did it for the laugh.
But Julian was interrupted, so he keeps the subject, and there are 38 seconds available. Picasso, Julian, starting now.
Picasso was prolific. He went through all these different periods where he only painted in blue or pink and then brown, which wasn't one of his greatest hits. And his pictures hang in all sorts of galleries, and you can go and look at them as long as you pay the entrance fee and be amazed. Quite breathtaking, really, the artistic imagination of Picasso. I suspect that he may have been a drinker, which I know some people on this panel wouldn't approve of. But he...
Paul Challenge.
Can I mention my cure for hangovers?
You've mentioned it once, Paul.
Oh, have I? I'd forgotten. I've got a hangover.
So have you a challenge within the rules of just a minute?
No, but I thought we were teetering on hesitation, but I'm not sure we got there.
Teetering? No, we didn't quite. No. So an incorrect challenge. Julian, another point to you. Picasso, 10 seconds available still, starting now.
I met Picasso when I was in Barcelona and he said, oh, which is just... As...
I don't think he did say that.
He wasn't well at the time.
No.
And he had a baguette in his mouth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what was your challenge, Paul?
Well, it was sort of deviation, really. Oh,
yeah, it was also a repetition of,
Yeah, yeah.
Everything. So, Paul, a correct challenge. And there are 4 seconds available still for Picasso, starting now.
Pablo Picasso stood in front of his latest painting and declared to the...
So, Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point. And the situation is now that all 3 of them are equal in the lead, Paul Merton, Sheila Hancock and Julian Cleary. But only 1 point behind is Josh Widdicombe. And, Sheila, it's your turn to begin. My party trick... 60 seconds if you need it, starting now.
My party trick is standing on my head and juggling with 5 balls. It's something I learnt in the playground when I was very young, and it's a very good party trick. I advise you all to have a go. If you want some coaching, just speak to me after the show and I'll tell you how it's done. I have another one where I do a double somersault as well, but my best party trick is to have a car waiting ready because I loathe parties and I like to have an excuse to get out while other people are doing their party tricks, which are usually incredibly boring, or it's small talk that I have no interest in, which is making me sound a very dreary person with also my dislike of alcoholic that I don't know why I'm here trying to do a comedy show and feeling wretchedly miserable because I don't know enough about this subject, but I will keep burbling on. I've forgotten what it is.
Sheila, you could have kept going. You went for 56 seconds.
Talking rubbish.
But Josh, you challenge first.
Yes, deviation.
Why?
What did I say?
Well, you just ran out of things to say on the subject.
I didn't remember.
She said
she couldn't have had a hesitation or deviation, yeah. Yes. So I give her a bonus point because 56 seconds deserves it, doesn't it?
Near miss.
But Josh, you get a point for a correct challenge and you have 4 seconds to tell us something about my party trick starting now.
The items I need for my party trick are as follows.
And we will never know because the whistle went. He was speaking at that time. He gets a point for it. And Paul, it's your turn to begin. The Outback. Tell us something about the Outback starting now.
The Outback in Australia has a sign on it as you approach it saying, you go back, you are going the wrong way. An Australian girlfriend... Oh, Australian.
Julian?
Yep. Repetition.
So, correct challenge, Julian. 51 seconds available. The Outback starting now.
Oh, it's ever so hot. I set out foolishly wearing a G-string and drinking a martini in my flip-flops. And I almost passed out.
Paul,
did you say you were drinking a martini in your flip-flops?
I can't remember what I said, but I don't think I said anything against the rules. Mm. I was wearing a G-string, drinking a martini in my flip-flops.
Well, I don't think you can get a martini into flip-flops.
No, you're being pedantic. I was talking about...
This is called just a minute. What do you mean I'm being pedantic?
I was in my flip-flops.
Oh, I see. I misunderstood for flip-flops. Small comic effects.
So, Julian, you were interrupted?
I was.
You get a point, yes. And 41 seconds still available. The Outback starting now.
Then at night, it gets freezing cold. Well, you just don't know where you are, do you? Luckily, I had a hangover from the martini and I knew the perfect...
Sheila, challenge.
Repeated martini.
And repeated martini, yes. Yeah. So, Sheila, you got a point for a correct challenge. And there are 33 seconds available. Tell us something about the Outback.
In my youth, I spent a year working in Oldham at the Theatre Royal, and I lived in a house that had a little Outback lavatory.
Paul, challenge.
Lavatory.
Hesitation, sadly.
I think it was, yes, just about. Paul, 24 seconds still available. You tell us something about the Outback starting now.
There were two survivors from the plane crash, myself and Nicholas Parsons. So we knew we had to return to cannibalism. He drew in... Oh, no.
Julian, new challenge.
Hesitation.
Yeah, yes. Well, you'd hesitate as well if you knew what I was going to say.
We might discover later, but Julian, a correct challenge. 16 seconds on the Outback starting now.
Luckily, from my years as a squaddie, I knew how to survive. So I dug a hole and built a little house made of leaves, and I thought, this is quite a lonely existence, but a koala came up and begged me to squeeze him. I said, I know your game.
So Julian Clary was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and has taken the lead at the end of that round. And Julian, it's your turn to begin. The subject now, Agatha Christie. Will you tell us something about Agatha Christie in this game, starting now?
Agatha Christie churned out novels. She was always happy with a pen in her hand. The Mousetrap is the longest-running play in the West End, possibly the world, but I couldn't verify that. I think it's rather dreary, mainly for tourists. They enjoy that sort of thing. But when I did go and watch, there's interesting fact for you. The carpet is worn out where the actors have been following their marks for years and years. So there's a little...
Oh, yes. The audience spotted it first. Sheila, you came
too
in there.
Too many years, I'm afraid.
Yes. And you have 33 seconds if you need it on Agatha Christie starting now.
Going back to my years in rep, I did do an awful lot of Agatha Christie plays, and I remember one called The Spider's Web. I was playing a sort of detective in it. I can't think why. It's a long while ago. But I did a long speech at the end where I had to tell who had done it. A friend of mine came round and said, well, who did do it?
Josh, challenge.
Repetition of who?
Who, yes.
All right.
Who done it? Who did do it? Right. Rosh.
Oh, it never rains but it pours, does it?
If you can get laughs as easy as that, I'll go on doing it. Josh, it was correct challenge. 12 seconds available. Agatha Christie, tell us something about her in this game starting now.
When I was a child on Dartmoor, I was a kitchen porter in a hotel called the Moorlands. This is where Agatha Christie went and hid when she didn't want the public to see her. She wrote a lot of...
So Josh Whittingham, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he has moved forward. He's now equal in third place with Paul Merton, but only 1 point behind Sheena Hancock and Julian Clary. And Josh, we're with you to begin, and the subject is The Perfect Day Out. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
If you drive past Baker Street, you'll see lots and lots... Oh, my word!
Paul challenged.
Well, hesitation.
Yeah, we interpret that as hesitation.
Yes.
He was trying to avoid a certain word and elongated the word he was talking about. So I think that's hesitation. 56 seconds available, Paul. The Perfect Day Out, starting now.
If you visit Koala World in Sydney, you will find that these magnificent little creatures, marsupials, are climbing up trees and they're sucking all kinds of things. They like particular gum. And there's a one thing that you can say...
Julian Challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Because he's talking about koalas.
The Perfect Day Out.
Well, I changed my mind. You see, I was going to say repetition and then I realised it wasn't. So I was trying my luck.
I think that's a bit pedantic.
Yeah. It's so, lovely to hear from you, Julian, yeah. But it was incorrect.
Yes, OK. So,
Paul, a correct challenge. Paul, an incorrect challenge.
You changed
your
mind.
A point for that. And you have 43 seconds still available. The Perfect Day Out, starting now.
As I sailed along the Thames in my own purpose-built kayak, looking up at Westminster Bridge, I thought to myself, this may be the perfect day out. Seagulls were crying in the distance. From within the House of Lords, I could hear the peers demonstrating...
Sheila challenge.
Hesitation?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yes. Sheila, correct challenge. 28 seconds still available. The Perfect Day Out, starting now.
I'm hard put to think of a perfect day out because I've had so many wonderful times on my own and with other people. But I suppose it would be to be...
Oh. Julian, challenge first.
Hesitation.
Yeah. Hesitation, Julian. Correct challenge. 16 seconds still available. The Perfect Day Out, starting now.
The perfect day out would be spent with my friend Losh sitting next to me. And we would wake up in Brighton and we'd go for a blow on the front and then maybe a little...
Sheila, you challenge.
I'm worried. I don't want him leading Dosh astray.
So I interpret that as deviation from his correct name, do we?
Do you?
From me, no. No, I just wanted to save him because I think he's in moral jeopardy.
Yeah.
But that's the way Julian lives.
I am a happily married man, thank you very much.
Yes, we keep hearing about your husband. What's his name? Give us a name.
I've no idea. He responds to you.
Sheila, I think we give you the benefit of the doubt and say you have a correct challenge, you have a point. And you have 4 seconds for the perfect day out, starting now.
It would have to be sunny because I loathe being cold in a boat.
So Sheena Hancock, speaking then as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so and has taken the lead. And we come to you, Sheila, to begin, actually, your turn. And the subject now is the East End. Tell us something about that. Area or that phrase starting now.
The East End is an area of London that I absolutely adore. I think it officially starts at the Aldgate Fountain statue or even Tower Bridge. But from there on, it's a delight. It used to be a terrible slum. Actually, even in my childhood, I lived up the road in King's Cross and it was a dodgy area to go to.
Julie, yes.
Repetition of area.
Yes, we mentioned the area too before. So, Julian, correct challenge, another point to you, and 38 seconds if you need it. The East End, starting now.
When I was a gangster's mole, decades ago, before I became a camp comic and renowned homosexual, I spent an awful lot of my time in the East End on the arm of one gangster or another.
Josh, challenge.
Repetition of gangster?
Yes, you had a gangster before.
Was it not gangsters and gangsters?
Well, it was, yeah. But never mind.
Mole.
Let him speak.
Oh, gangster. But, Josh, I'm helping you there. There are 24 seconds for you. Another point, the East End, starting now.
I live in the East End, just near Victoria Park, and every time I get in a black cab home, the driver will say to me, this area isn't what it used to be.
Sheila challenged
you. No, I'm saying it's a repeat of area, but it was me that said area.
That's why it sounded familiar.
I know. This is without doubt the craziest show I've ever done in 50 years. I mean, it is bizarre.
I suppose in this show you could challenge yourself, but it's best if you're speaking at the time.
Yes, it is. Sorry about that. Go on, Josh.
So, Josh, an incorrect challenge. A point to you. 15 seconds still available. The East End starting now.
After they've told me what has gone wrong, they'll tell me another thing.
Oh. Julian challenge.
Repetition. Or what? Was it?
No.
Yes, it was.
Something else.
Told and tell.
It was, but you have to tell me what it is.
Oh.
I know what it was, but do you know what it was?
He's got his finger out. It's always a worry.
That's not his finger. Not his finger.
No, well, I do know now because someone told me, but that's not fair. So give him an extra point and carry on.
No, not an extra point. He'll get a point for an incorrect challenge.
Yes, give him that.
Because you didn't remember.
No.
It was tell me. He repeated tell me.
I know that now.
You know that now.
I don't want to get too confident, but I think I'm about to win.
No, you're still in fourth place. Josh, 11 seconds still available. The East End starting now.
Then I'm told, do you know who lives in that house?
Paul Chan.
We have not told before.
You have told before, yes.
Oh, we'll never know who lived in that house.
Well, listen. No. Paul, another point to you. 8 seconds available. The East End starting now.
So I've got this look up, Gary. So you walk in a second-hand pelican, you're the man to talk to. All right, penguins, any sort of bird you want, koala.
Julian challenge.
It's deviation.
Why?
Well, I didn't know what. Were you trying to do an East End accent?
Was I trying to do an East End accent?
Difficult decision for me because it was an incoherent East End accent.
Have you been to the East End lately?
I don't think anybody speaks quite as incoherently as that. So I'm going to give Julian the benefit of the doubt. And you have 3 seconds on the East End starting now.
Go blimey, Governor, let's go.
Poor new challenge.
Deviation, because nobody says go blimey, Governor anymore. Not since 1948 have they said, gore blimey, Governor. He's hoisted on his own petard. You can see by the way his trousers are hanging. He's hoisted on his own petard.
So, have you a challenge within the rules of...
Yes, it's deviation. People don't say, gore blimey, Governor anymore in the East End.
I wasn't saying it was current day East End. I was...
Oh, well, deviation then.
I was going backwards in time to 1948.
Oh, were you?
Yes.
You didn't establish that, though.
Well, I didn't have time.
No.
Paul, you're trying very hard.
I know.
I'm not quite getting there. So, Julian, another incorrect challenge and another point to you. And 2 seconds to go. The East End starting now.
Let's go do a paint job.
So, at the end of that round, Julian Clary was speaking as the whistle went. And we're moving in to the final round. Oh, I'll give you the scores we do. It's very close, actually. Paul Merton and Josh Widdicombe are equal in third place. And they're only 2 points behind Sheila Hancock. And Sheila's only 2 points behind our leader, Julian Clary. And, Paul, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is my bookshelf. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
On my bookshelf, I have a copy of the A to Z of London. And the East End is a very popular area. Because I think in the back, easy, come out there in the back and the thing. And they're going around the thing. I said to her, I said, here, you're going to come out the back. And I said, I'll grease up your monkey for you. He said, you put it on a pokey and I'll put it on me back. I'll tell you that, mate. So I go as far as Whitechapel. What happened then? What happened then?
Sheila, what is your challenge?
Deviation.
Yeah. Paul, what we'll do, and I'm a generous here, I'll give you a bonus point because the audience obviously enjoyed your incorrect impersonation of an EastEnder. But Sheila, you had a correct challenge, so you get a point, and you have 51 seconds if you need it on my bookshelf starting now.
My bookshelf is one of several because I am surrounded by books which I am trying to get rid of because I am at the age when I am beginning to declutter so that my children don't have to do a lot of work when I die, which will be imminent if I survive this show. However, I have on it all sorts of things that I am trying to give to charity. The Oxfam shop on Chiswick.
Paul Challenge.
Oh, a slight hesitation, sadly.
Yeah. Yes, there was. So, Paul, my bookshelf is back with you, and there are 28 seconds available, starting now.
I bought my bookshelf in the old Kent Road, this bloke said to me. I tell you what, Governor, you want to go around the back of the ticket?
Josh, your chance.
I just think he needed to be stopped.
I hereby publicly vow to talk like that forever.
Well, you won't get very much work.
No. Well, I don't know, there's always something, you know what I mean? I'd do anything for a pony.
I've given you enough bonus points in this round, so... Josh, correct challenge. 24 seconds available. My bookshelf, starting now.
My girlfriend's mother has colour-coded our bookshelf, so it goes from yellow to red to black to white to blue to green.
Who challenged? Paul?
Yeah, a lot of twos. To red, to we black, to yellow, to... You know, it was quite...
Yeah, I thought.
So, Paul, we got the subject back again. And there's 17 seconds on my bookshelf, starting now.
One of the great books that I have on my bookshelf is undoubtedly A History of London by that great scholar, Sir Cecil Parkinson.
Junior challenge.
Repetition of London.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, you've mentioned London before, Paul.
I was seconds away from doing it again.
And...
God blimey, he's right and all, Gavner. Strike me pink.
And we enjoy it all so much, Paul. We'll give you another bonus point. It won't make any difference to the final score. Julian, is a correct challenge. Yep. Another point to you. And there are 9 seconds for my bookshelf, starting now.
My bookshelf is heaving, mainly with dialect literature, which is where I learnt the many accents that I'm adept at.
Let me give you the final score. Josh Widdicombe, who hasn't played the game as much as the others, is 1 point behind Sheila Hancock, who's 1 point behind Paul Merton, who's 1 point behind Julian Clary. We do say, therefore, Julian, you are the Miller. The Miller. It gets you, doesn't it? Yeah. I'm doing it myself now. You can't go be carried. You are the winner this week, Julian. It remains me to say thank you to these four fine, humorous players of the game, Paul Merton, Sheila Hancock, Josh Widdicombe and Julian Clary. I thank Hayley Sterling, who's helped me with the score. She's blown the whistle with such style after the 66 seconds elapsed. And we're grateful to our producer, Matt Strong. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we are indebted to this lovely audience here. So from the audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team, goodbye, thank you. And tune in when we play Just a Minute!
Paul Merton will be indulging in more verbal tussles, this time with Josie Lawrence, Lee Mack and Zoe Lyons, at the same time next week here on Radio 4 Extra.
This week in Radio 4 Extra's Comedy Club with me, Rob Deering, Steve Punt and Hugh Dennis return with The Now Show, with excellent sketches from the 1990s in Goodness Gracious Me.
Lovely, isn't it?
Amazing.
We've got some Shappy Talk, some Concrete Cows, Count Arthur Strong's radio show, and we return to hell in Old Harry's game.
I'm no bog standard Satan. No. I'm an innovative Satan.
Kiri Pritchard-McLean will be jacking up the week's news with her news jack, and we head back to the Dickensian era in Bleak Expectations.
Don't you see what this means?
Not really.
That's all coming up in this week's BBC Radio 4 Extra Comedy Club, every night from 10 till midnight.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
That isn't funny.
It's 8 o'clock. Hello, I'm Joanna Pinnock with hour 2 of The Breakfast Comedy, where next, Tony has a bit of luck on a TV quiz show. This calls for a celebration bottle of brown ale, which is about to be cracked open. No expense spared in Hancock's half hour next. Meanwhile, over in Past Decidings in half an hour, Station Master Hepplewhite is warned to expect a VIP, but events take a surprising turn in the final episode. Now, though, back to 1958, and Tony Hancock gets more than he bargained for. on a TV quiz show.
The BBC presents Tony Hancock, Sidney James, Bill Kerr, Hattie Jakes and Kenneth Williams in...
Hancock's half hour.
What is your favourite colour?
Green.
You did say green.
Green?
Green. You don't mean red.
No, I mean... No.
Oh, dear. He said no. Hard luck. Remember, you mustn't say yes or no in this game. And the next competitor, please. Good evening, sir. We have met before, haven't we?
We have.
I've forgotten the name. It was Jim, wasn't it?
It was not Jim.
Oh, that's right.